time now for our daily tech and business report. Today, we're joined by Bloomberg's Mark Gurman. Apple unveiled two new products today, and they'll be available for pre-order starting on Wednesday. Mark, tell us about these. First, a new version of the lower-end iPhone, the 17e. What is it?
So this actually kicks off several days of new products, right? Apple's holding their big spring launch this year. Instead of having one singular event in like March, April, or May, they're rolling out a bunch of products today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, culminating with a hands-on event in Shanghai, New York, and London for the press. And so they started off today, like you said, with a new version of the iPhone and a new version of the iPad. The first product, the iPhone 17e, it's the same price as last year's iPhone 16e, $599, but you get double the storage at the entry price, so 256 gigabytes, so a quarter terabyte, which is pretty good for a phone in this price range. You get the A19 chip, which is the same processor as in the iPhone 17 from September. You get a slightly better camera, and you also get a couple new bells and whistles, such as MagSafe charging, which is their magnetic wireless charging system. So you have magnetized chargers that you can pin on the back of the phone. So overall, a nice year-over-year upgrade. If you have last year's 16E, I don't see a reason to upgrade, but if you're new to the E family looking for a new entry-level iPhone, this is a pretty good offering.
Tell us what the E signifies. What's the difference between a 17E and a 17, besides obviously the price?
Yeah, they've never said what E stands for, but if I were to venture a guess, you know, internally they look at the letter E as standing for everyone. The idea being that the E phones are these lower end models. The big differences here come down to the camera. This is one camera on the back versus two cameras that you get on the regular 17. The battery life is not as good. The screen is slightly smaller. The display is not as good. But, you know, for most people, it's a pretty good iPhone.
So I was going to say, if you're not someone who really relies on your iPhone for photography, maybe this is a good budget alternative, right?
It's a good budget alternative. I mean, certainly the camera is a 48 megapixel. They do their software tricks to have a software-based telephoto, which means you have a pretty good 2x zoom on there. So yeah, it's a pretty good phone. You just don't get all the bells and whistles. I mean, to be honest with you, if you're looking at a 17, I would probably just get the 17e and save that couple $100 because the differences are not that sizable until you're comparing, you know, the lower-end phones to the pro models.
Let's talk a little bit about the iPad. It's had an interesting history from what it was initially developed as like a laptop alternative. Now there's the iPad Air that they've introduced. What is that? And what does that tell us about that platform?
So the iPad Air, that is their mid-tier tablet. And this is an odd one, right? I mean, it's not so much better than the entry-level iPad that you have to spring for this model. And it's not so much worse than the iPad Pro that it makes a lot of sense. It has this M4 chip, which is the same processor you'll get in a MacBook Air or entry-level MacBook Pro. But you don't get the better screen, the higher resolution, better color screen of the iPad Pro. And you don't get that super low price point of the entry-level iPad. So it's sort of stuck in the middle there. It is a good tablet. This new one, like I said, has the M4, which makes it 30% faster than last year's. But this, you know, overall iPad design, the iPad Air design that we're seeing today is the same one that they rolled out a few years ago with the M2 version. They make a 13-inch version of this M4 iPad at $799, and I actually think that is a pretty good value given the screen size and the chip, and it's, you know, several hundred dollars less than what you're getting from the iPad Pro. But, you know, if you're comparing the 11-inch models, you know, the iPad Pro, a few hundred dollars more, but it is considerably better.
So who is that geared toward? Who's in the market for an iPad? Who is it marketed to, the iPad Air?
You know, the iPad Air, it could be a laptop replacement, could be a secondary computer, could be a movie watching machine. It's really up to you what you do with it. But if you're just buying, you know, an 11-inch version just to watch movies, I would probably tell you to get the entry-level one. If you're looking to replace your laptop, you know, the 13-inch model, I think, is pretty compelling at $800. But the storage is lacking here. The entry-level storage on the $600 and $800 price points for the new iPad Air, and it's for 128 gigabytes. And so most people, if you're going to want to put, you know, any considerable number of films on there, digital downloads, files and whatnot, you're probably going to want to upgrade to one of the more expensive models. They have versions with 256 gigabytes to match the 17E. 512 gigabytes, and then they also have a 1 terabyte capacity configuration as well.
Got it. Mark Gurman is with Bloomberg. You can hear our tech and business report weekdays, 12:30 p.m. on KCBS, and for more, turn into Bloomberg's Technology Weekdays at 8 a.m.